is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Born to be wild, we got the wild man, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, on the show here. No Rams Weekly tonight. We were supposed to have Eaton Aspen last night for our Preps basketball state playoff coverage, but the weather, of course, changed our plan. So we have that game tonight. So we'll jump in all things Rams Weekly next week. Kevin, my man, there's a lot I want to talk about. We can talk about CSU Wyoming tomorrow night, although that matchup's not nearly as interesting as I thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season. Let's talk about the Mountain West as a whole, Kevin, as far as basketball goes. I'm watching New Mexico and Boise State last night. That was a pretty fun game. This conference is very good. I think I heard on the call, Kevin, somebody said, you know this conference is good when Nico Medved's team is at the bottom of the barrel, which I thought was kind of a nice compliment to CSU.
Yeah, it's probably not the compliment Nico Medved would like. But no, it is true. I mean, yeah, you're right. This Wyoming-CSU game, no one thought would be, you know, basically bow for the bottom. But the league is so good this year that even, yeah, obviously CSU and Wyoming individually are not having the seasons they want. But if you look, you know, the metrics are still pretty decent. You know, CSU specifically, they're 117 in net, which, again, isn't where they want to be. But that's, you know, far from a terrible number. This league is just so, so good. I mean, yeah, you mentioned that game last night was a good one. Really nice comeback from Boise. Boise is one of those kind of every time you're like, well, I'm not sure they can win this one. They find a way to win, you know, kind of grind out a victory, and they keep doing it. And they're right in that title race. This league is so good. I think three bids minimum. I think they can get a fourth if some things fall right. But I think it's a minimum three-bid league, which is great for the league after getting four last year. If you're getting three and four every year, that's a great sign.
Well, you got five teams with 20 wins or more. And yeah. Every time I watch New Mexico, Kevin, I'll be honest, I was getting up early today, so I knew that. I watched the first half of the New Mexico-Boise State game, and it felt like New Mexico was just flat out in control. Every time I watch them, I think, how did they lose like four in a row? What's going on with this team? But here they are. And then, as you said, the Broncos came back and they ended up winning fairly, you know, by at least 10 or so last night. New Mexico's really freaking good, though. They just are, you got a great conference.
Yeah, I think New Mexico, you know, for me, they're probably my most entertaining team. Like, if it's, you know, sort of the old NBA league pass question, you know, which is the team that you just want to watch because they're fun. To me, that's New Mexico in the Mountain West, because they can be, you know, crazy good, you know, like they did the CSU in the pit when they hit all those threes. They can be pretty erratic and bad like they were against Air Force, but they're just entertaining. They play fun basketball, but they do kind of ride a pretty wild wave, you know, even within games, and we saw that a bit last night. So they're a really fun team. Don't do it as consistently as they need to. You know, some depth and injury problems hit them a little bit, but they're really fun. And yeah, if you're San Diego State, Boise State, Nevada, you know, kind of those top couple teams, you don't really want to be seeing New Mexico early in that Mountain West tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm really, even though the Rams, who knows, we'll see what the Rams can do in this tournament, but this is some of the best basketball, at least for me, and I get it, it's a local tie, and I've been following the Mount West for a while, especially since you and I have been talking on this program, so I'm really pumped about that tournament. That's going to be exciting. When you look at these teams, though, Kevin, the teams at the top, you know, San Diego State, obviously, is a great team. The Broncos, Nevada, Utah, even New Mexico. Do you see any of those teams making some real noise come March Madness time?
Yeah, this is the next big question. Obviously, the first thing is who gets in, but the Mountain West, we know, has not been winning in the tournament. And, you know, some of it's fluky. You know, you get random one-off matchups in tournament, and a lot of that is fluky, but it's been enough that you really need the Mountain West to win. And I can see both. You know, Boise State, like I say, they find a way to win games, but they have no depth at all. So injuries or foul trouble, you know, could really sink them. Nevada, you know, likewise, you know, this group hasn't really been in the tournament, and they've been not erratic. Obviously, they have a great record, but a little inconsistent. And San Diego State, you know, we thought they had fixed their scoring issues, and they sure haven't. So, you know, if you get a team that can match them length and athleticism and defensive-wise, they could struggle. So I can talk myself into all these teams making a Sweet 16, and I can talk myself into all of them losing in the first round because they all do have flaws that could be exposed, but are also pretty darn good teams. So it's, you know, as always in the tournament, it's going to come down to some matchups. I really think San Diego State is winning at least a game because they're going to get a good seed. I think, you know, they've had enough struggles over the last couple of years that they're going to find a way to. But, you know, those Nevada and Boise's, while their records are great and right now they're pretty comfortable, you know, they could still end up as a 10 seed or something and not have a great matchup.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, though. Either way you slice it, we think there should be a good showing in the big dance with some of these teams, but you just never know because historically it doesn't really work out that way. Well, if you're playing the Broncos, all you got to do is have your baseball team hanging out in the near the locker room at halftime, and then you can probably beat them, don't you think?
Yeah, that apparently that irritates them, we'll say.
Bring the baseball team out. That'll get them. Kevin, is San Diego State going to the Pac-12?
It seems like it. There's a lot of smoke about it. It's fairly logical. I mean, they obviously do not replace UCLA and USC and own that Southern California market or anything, but it would give the Pac-12, you know, another little toehold in it. So it sure seems to be moving that way. I'm to the point where I'll be more surprised if they don't than if they do.
Yeah, that's who knows if that's a great move either. I mean, Apple TV and the Pac-12 or might be working on a new TV deal. I had Mark Johnson on yesterday, who is a Pac-12 guy, and he was, I got to tell you, Kevin, he was not optimistic. He was pretty down on the Pac-12's future. I don't even know what that's going to look like. I still don't know what all of this is going to look like in the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and no one does. You know, if we did, you know, we probably wouldn't be talking on radio right now. We'd probably be, you know, picking out our third mansion to live in because we'd be making that much money. But yeah, I mean, it sure, everything you're reading is that the Pac-12 is getting nowhere near what it thought it could in the next TV deal, which obviously that's the big talker. And, you know, frankly, the reason Washington, well, one of the reasons I should say Washington, Oregon are kind of hanging on is to wait and see what happens. But if the Pac-12 gets a bad deal, they, you know, they'll put up the for sale sign and say, hey, Big 10, Big 12, if either you want us, come get us. And then, you know, certainly if those programs were to leave the Pac-12, you know, I still don't think it'll disintegrate in name, but it may, you know, end up losing some members and becoming a merger or something. But yeah, if that TV deal, you know, ends up pretty poor, it could be poor being a very, very relative term, of course, but it could be big trouble for the Pac-12.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like even if you don't have the Pac-12 network right now, you can still catch, I think CU's playing USC on ESPN2 tonight. You can still catch games, a lot of Pac-12 games, but I'm kind of, to my understanding somewhat, Kevin, is if this Apple TV deal goes through, they might box all of it out where they would say it's all or nothing. I mean, is that the vibe you get, or would ESPN and Fox still get to play some of those games?
Yeah, it seems like it's hard to tell how much is kind of public jockeying and how much is, you know, what's actually going to happen. Because I can see both ways. I can see in some ways that, you know, ESPN, Fox saying, you know, we've got the Big Ten and the Big 12, and that's kind of all we need. But I could also obviously see, especially if, you know, Oregon, for instance, is staying, those networks want a little bit of that. So it's hard to say. There's just so many intertwined and layered conversations with this that's just so complex. And obviously only so many people are truly in that conversation.
Kevin, at the beginning of last football season, it felt like something was going to change quickly. When we heard, you know, USC, UCLA leaving the Pac-12, we started wondering with all these TV deals, what's that going to mean? Maybe we'll see something change fast. Then the talk was, well, what's going to happen to the Group of Five conferences? And then that died down. We expanded the college football playoffs. We got into the season, and that started to die down a little bit. Now it feels like it's ramping back up. What does all of this mean ultimately for the Mountain West Conference? I mean, can they survive this? Or you know, and a lot of the things we've talked about is, do we just see Do we just see the SEC and the Big Ten do their own thing, and then the FBS remains with this, with the rest? Where does the Mountain West end up in all of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I think, you know, like I said, it looks like San Diego State's probably going to go. Right now, it looks like everyone is freezing Boise State out, which is interesting in a lot of ways. Fresno State's name keeps popping up, which is in some ways even more fascinating because, you know, no offense to our good friends in Fresno, but I'm not sure what they bring to the table. UNLV keeps popping up because mostly because of the Vegas market, not really because of anything UNLV does. So it's kind of fascinating what's going on. You know, the Mountain West is going to survive in a way, but survive and thrive, you know, that's the big question. It's too soon to say. You know, I still think even if San Diego State leaves, I think Mountain West, you know, even in that case, would still be pretty well positioned to probably be the best group of five. It'd be interesting to see what additions they maybe would make. And where, you know, especially with the new commissioner, what she would do moving forward. But I don't, anyone that says that they know what's going to happen is a liar, I guess, is the thing. Or maybe they're overly optimistic about their prognosticating abilities because it's just so unpredictable right now.
How much is, like, current success right now, like if you see the Mountain West go on and you see three of the teams really go on and make some noise in March Madness, how much of like the immediate success of the Mountain West will play a role in all of this? You know, when it comes to the Mountain West getting more opportunities, maybe even having some more clout when it comes to negotiating possible TV deals and such going forward. How much of that immediate success really will impact this, I wonder? Because, again, yeah. I think a lot of people nationally do look at the Mountain West Conference on basketball right now, and a lot of them are pretty impressed.
Yeah. I mean, certainly every bit helps. You know, success is never bad. So that helps. But you know, on the flip side, football is still the needle mover. Basketball, you know, men's basketball is, you know, useful, but, you know, it's not the huge driver in all these moves. I can't think of a single one of these moves that was made, you know, with basketball in mind. The only one that could be is all the chatter about Gonzaga moving. Obviously, that would be basketball-based. But it helps, but, you know, I'm not sure completely changes the trajectory, you know, one way or another.
Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And these are fascinating conversations. It's one of the reasons I actually like or love college sports is because the NFL, the NBA, other than a few weird tweaks here and now, they're not going to do a lot of these massive changes. You potentially, we've already seen it. We've seen the college football playoff. We've seen it expand. We've seen teams jumping ship for years now, going to different conferences. I don't know if it's always the best for fans, but it certainly makes sports talk radio entertaining, Kevin.
Yeah, plenty to talk about, that's for sure.
All right, so tomorrow night we do have Wyoming and CSU. That will be on FS1, 7 o'clock. But as you mentioned to start the segment, it's important because you're trying to stay out of the bottom. And I hate that we have to say that, but that's kind of why it's important tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And, you know, I think both these teams at least like to think that they can make a run in the Mountain West tournament. You know, there's a possibility New Mexico could slip into that sixth spot, which would face the number 11 team. You don't want to play New Mexico in the first round of the Mountain West tournament if you're, you know, trying to make a run. And yeah, a lot of it is just bragging rights. You know, when you're having a down season, you don't want to be bottom, especially for CSU. To end up bottom, it would pretty much mean that they lost twice to Wyoming, which obviously would be a bad taste in the mouth. So yeah, it's a pride game for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you also want to try to get some momentum going into the tournament and all that good stuff too. So how about on the women's side, quickly, Kevin, while we have you here? It's a very interesting mix-up here. Obviously, UNLV sitting at 15-0, but you have San Diego State, CSU, and Wyoming all sitting at 11-5.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. If you look at even 2 through 6 in the Mountain West women's side are separated by one loss in the loss column, and that's where I look. Don't look, you know, it's not even worth looking at wins because everyone will end up at the same point as far as games played. But in the loss column, you know, you could end up literally anywhere from 2nd to 6th in this last week of games. And CSU, they play Saturday at Wyoming, who they're tied with in record. And then they finish with Boise State, who's one game behind CSU in the loss column. So I guess the positive view for CSU is they kind of control their own destiny. If they win two games, they'll finish either second or third. But if they lose two, they could make a tumble down the standing. So it's a really important final week for CSU because you really want to be in either that two or three slot so that you don't face UNLV until the conference championship game.
Yeah, some big ones coming up. And that game for CSU against Wyoming at 7:30, that will be a big one as well. Kevin, always appreciate you, my man. And we'll look to catch up with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Let's take a short break. I'll wrap up this hour. We got the Lunch Rush coming up soon in a few minutes, and then we'll catch up with Dalen Kuntz as well. The UNC Bears, another team trying to get hot at the right time before they approach their conference tournament. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.